All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I got a 3D printer.
Oh, hey, they're getting affordable.
They are. I want to make some shitty plastic things.
Yeah, that weird texture. Yeah. Real unpleasant.
Mm-hmm. I want to make something I need to sand.
Yeah.
Like I don't do enough of that in my garage. Yeah. I just live in that sand life, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got this and the world is flush with models. Okay.
It's true.
You know, the internet, you just download the little file and you can just print it off. Mm-hmm. So I figured I would just grab a random package of models here, mm-hmm. have it printed out. We can see if anything springs to mind from these.
That sounds great. Yeah. Let's set tight for a few hours and prepare for a weird smell.
Yep. And hope it doesn't jam. It'll probably jam. So just going to load up a few of these and then just let it roll.
All right.
Do you want to, I've got nothing to talk about with you.
I know. We talk to each other too much to just like make small talk in these things. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Oh boy. What'd you have for breakfast today?
I didn't. I had lunch.
You skipped breakfast.
Yeah. I woke up too late. I got a really late start today. Yeah. No.
I consider whatever meal I eat first in the day to be breakfast, no matter when it is.
Okay. All right.
Like, just because, I mean, even if it's not a breakfast food, I'm just like, this is breakfast
for me. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I had a homemade roast beef sandwich then.
Oh, okay.
Tell me, load
it up for me. Let me paint a mental picture.
Okay.
Let me play Burger Time in my brain with your sandwich tech.
Kaiser bun.
Okay.
All right. I don't fuck with sliced bread. I just get buns now.
Okay.
All right. It's real modest. It was some roast beef, some pepper jack cheese, and a little bit of barbecue sauce.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So kind of like a home Arby's kit.
a little bit. Yeah.
And the pepper jack, like a little bit of spice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The home Arby's experience. Nice.
Yeah. How about you? What'd you have for breakfast?
A little granola with a banana.
Nice.
Yeah. Love a banana. Eat a banana every day if I could. I can. I'm an adult who can afford one of the cheapest fruits available.
it's wild how cheap bananas are. Yeah.
They're six for $1.25. I can eat as many bananas as I like. And do.
It's kind of like onions. You could buy more onions than you could ever use in your entire life.
And they're real good. It's great. Like, like two of the best fruit and vegetables are so cheap.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
What else
is
in the news? We still got 3D printing going through.
Yeah, we're gonna fill. Normally, we would have cut to the waiting, but
I don't know. So it seems like there's trouble at home and abroad. I'm checking the news.
Yeah, no. Yeah, those.
Tucker Carlson got fired. I only know that because I popped onto Twitter to see the Abject Suffering interviews or intros.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's good because a bad man had a bad day.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be for the greater good. Ultimately, like, you know, because like their fox is going to fox. It's a bad man was sad for a day, which is about the joy I can take out of life now.
That's all I can get. Maybe the stress would, you know, cause a blood clot to come loose.
Yeah, might pop.
Maybe maybe he'll die. That'd be fun. Yeah.
That'd be great. That's the goal.
Yeah.
What else is in the news? It's tricky. This is what we actually do every time we play The Waiting.
Yeah.
In audio form. We cut out about 20 minutes left. 20 minutes of just random talking. This is me taking this too guppy. This is a real show. Will wouldn't blink, but he's a worse person for it. Let's see what we printed.
Yeah, let's see here. Okay. It was like some D&D miniatures. Okay. All right. Okay. So, like one of these. Oh, it's like a little set piece, like for if you want to do like a little it's like a pigsty. It's like a pigsty, like for the village. Okay.
Nice.
Then there is there's like a little weapon here. Like a freestanding like armory thing. Oh, it's an axe. So we have a sty and an axe. We have a sty and an axe.
A sty and an axe.
That's a video game. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see what's happened in the news.
We can talk about Tucker Carlson dying more.
Yeah, instead of that, I will say my name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Suffragette Abby Crawford Milton, the first president of the League of Women Voters of Tennessee.
Oh, I don't have a joke about that. Something. Suffragette. It. Nope, nothing. Yeah. Revealing my ignorance
here. I like the phrase suffragette.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Not just the Bowie song. Even though I do like the idea of Suffragette City.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a cool like Dark Souls title card moment in a Bowie song.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit.
I've never I know that song. I dig that song. It's good. Mm-hmm. But I've never actually read the lyrics of that, so I have no idea what it is supposed to be in the song.
It's abstract Bowie.
Yeah.
You know, kind
yeah.
of thing. Like not really anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't think. Mm-hmm.
This was demanded by our patron. Thank you, mm-hmm. Samurai Snail. That is a very good name that you put in there. Mm-hmm. Saying, everything I learned about Greek mythology, I learned from this game. At least until high school, at which point I was quite dismayed to learn how little of the game's events were actually known to the scholastic world.
Yeah, they hide the truth.
Those stodgy ivory tower historians, classics yeah. professors, not recognizing that Caesar was a bug man who drove a dinosaur tank.
the history books tell us that Hector's son, Astyanax, fell off the walls. But this book presupposes maybe he didn't.
Oh gosh. I've not played the arcade game. I've just played the NES version of this. Yes. This is pretty good. Like there's so much mandatory damage. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crummy Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. It runs into that thing, but it's got pleasures to it. We're doing a game for WoF.
Yes.
That is harkens from this phase.
It's already been announced okay. by the time people yeah. hear this. We're doing Infernax, yes. which is kind of from this era, from this phase.
Inspired by this like beefcake goes to the right and left in a video game. It's specifically Zelda 2
mm-hmm.
Inspired, but it's got this kind of scuzz to it. And yeah. like it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
These enemies, like all the stuff you fight, just like weird fucking little critters. You're such a weird stiff guy. In this, like your posture, good God, your posture in this game.
So upright, like none of the swings. Like I love this. This is a thing that makes more sense in ActRaiser because you're a literal statue. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that the torso is upright and the shoulders remain fixed and back as they yes. slash. It's so good.
It's just very fun to watch. You swing every weapon the same way. Mm-hmm. As you do an axe, so you eventually get it replaced with other weapons, but you just kind of do this like overhand bonk for mm-hmm. everything you do. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, the penultimate boss this game is named Thorn Dog. You're doing this to fight a guy named Thorn Dog, dude.
I love it.
God, Thorn Dog.
Thorn Dog.
Thorn Dog.
Run it by. what a fight, Stanny Axes. Thorn Dog here.
Yeah, Thorn Dog's
in the MTV, rocking the MTV yeah. spring break.
Yeah, on the ones and twos, we got Thorn Dog. yeah. Thorn Dog.
Is that the name of like the evil prince who keeps the princess to try and get her powers?
He's the penultimate boss is Thorn Dog. He's the skull faced guy.
Okay.
Who you see in the cutscenes is Thorn Dog.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
you beat Thorn Dog, he traps you in his realm. He's like, by beating me, you have trapped yourself. And then you fight Blackthorn, who is the ultimate one.
Gotcha.
Your little fairy, Cutie, or whatever her name is,
yeah.
Sacrifices herself so you can get out and fight Blackthorn.
Oh,
but that's after you fight Thorndog.
we need to really dwell on Thorndog. Okay, now I see him. He's the
He's the awesome lich looking guy.
Yeah,
like Thorndog rocks. like absolutely rock socks. And then the version of him in the game, he looks like this like gross flesh ghost.
He's like a genie kind of guy. Yeah.
Yeah. With this very dismissive finger that shoots a laser in a relaxed pose. Like, he's great looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It keeps regenerating. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. And then the fairy you have has leg warmers. Like, it's just a visual feast.
Like,
this game.
I've got no idea. I might be revealing my ignorance here because so many games in this era did just pull from manga. Like, it's a real, like a Berserk kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It looks a little bit like it.
It'd be like roughly concurrent, having the little, the fairy helper going with you. Looks kind of similar. Like, his armor is kind of similar to the, Golden Age.
Did the Golden Age arc stuff come out in the late 80s?
Ah, man, I think so.
I thought it was later than that, but I could have been wrong. I thought it was 90s.
I know Berserk started in the 90s. I know Berserk started in the 80s, but
I thought it was a little bit later than that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell what it was in Japan. It's called Lord of Kings. Japan.
That's so good.
I love Lord of Kings.
Yeah.
And it's just this weird melange, in the arcade version that came out, of like Greek and Arab mythology. It's a dude like going to the right and hitting stuff with an axe.
Yeah.
Fighting beings. But it gives you a much different story in the NES version of this.
So it couldn't have been inspired by Berserk because Berserk started in 1989. And this game hit Japan and the arcades in 1989. Yeah. So there must be some kind of like common antecedent that it's pulling from. Well,
this fairy is wearing clothes.
True.
So that's part of it. Like, you don't have to be embarrassed to read about this fairy on the bus, where it just looks like there's a flying prepubescent naked baby with your muscle man all the time.
The story in the NES version is real funny because it is a 16-year-old high schooler. They play a lot of track for like his normal life that he has that ends up pulled into this world in order to rescue the princess.
Yeah. Princess Rosebud. held by Blackthorn and his lieutenant Thorndog. Such a good name for a lieutenant.
Oh yeah.
Like the Blackthorn, and then like the smaller version is Thorndog. It's just, they made him look way more badass.
If you're going to have a comedy member of your crew, the lieutenant is the place to put him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Comedy lieutenant.
Like, that's where he has to be, right?
Yeah,
he's got to be a foil.
The prequel to Bad Lieutenant. Yeah. Port of Wolves.
But port of comedy.
There we go.
Port of comedy. New Lorreens.
Yes. New Lorreens. So this is fine. It reminds me, it's like those NES games you saw all the time, or at least for me, where I didn't really know what they were. I just saw them all the time. Like, my Astaniacs awareness was huge, but it was in the same pile as like Eight Eyes. These games I just never got around to, but always knew the cover of them.
I really associate this kind of game with Nick Arcade, honestly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just a game whose name I saw and whose gameplay I saw kind of just in snippets on that. Like, this is kind of it's in the Chuck Rock.
The Chuck Rock corridor.
Yeah.
And not quite like Secret. It's not Faxanadu, like, we're not in Secret Gem, actually kind of ambitious territory here. It's real modest. I was looking at looking at release dates to see what came out around near it. Because I wanted to see how primitive, this was. And this came out right around the same time as Castlevania 3. Which is significantly better looking and just like really ambitious compared to this. Like, you're switching characters, you're climbing on walls, you have sub-weapons. You just get power-ups that change your axe into different kinds of swords. You walk to the right and you jump sometimes, and mostly you just bonk
in
this.
I mean, that's kind of Jalico. Like, Jalico always was, you know, not quite shovelware. Some people get angry if I said that. I don't really believe it. But, like, they were, you know, kind of like a sub-Sunsoft. Yes. Kind of like, you know, not necessarily as experimental, kind of but still putting out kind of off-kilter stuff that felt a few years behind. Right?
Yeah. That's how I would think of it.
Oh, like, that and Maniac Mansion.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. But they, you know, they didn't create Maniac Mansion. They right, ported. Yeah. And that's also the publisher of this. Mm-hmm. You know, the developer did a couple of things that make sense when you look at this. Like, they did GoGo 13.
Oh, the yeah.
Conspiracy.
Experience the MoFot experience.
The MoFot experience. Yeah. you know,
yeah, they did Totally Rad. Yeah.
Yeah. Vice Project Doom, mm-hmm. you know, and then they weirdly in those, they're the people who developed Blaster Master Boy, the Game Boy sequel to Blaster Master, that Sunsoft connection.
Oh,
they're
weird.
Basically in the Sunsoft Data East.
Yeah.
Jalico corridor of NES games of like, yeah. Power Blade's better than you might think.
Which is within the Chuck Rock Valley.
Yes. It's a whole, we're creating a source book here.
Yeah. like,
yeah, downhill from Bonk Mountains, like, and Clockwork Night, the Clockwork Night District. I have a lot of affection for that level of NES game. Yeah. Like, I love, I think we've talked about it before, but I love Power Blade. I think Power Blade rocks. Yeah. I Kickmaster, like, all of those. There's a Retronauts they did with Frank Sivaldi about them all, and he just calls them guy games. Not because they're for men, but because, because you're a guy. Yeah. Like, how do you describe the Power Blade guy other than, like, that's a guy?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Who's Excalibur 2099? That's a guy.
Yeah.
You know? that's all it is.
Like, Kickmaster, everything you need to know about it is contained in the title, but it contains are describing
two things that are great.
Yeah. Both just about what kind of guy that is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly that kind of guy. This is a weird game where I also think that when it came out, if I played it when I was young, I would have been really excited because it has tons of cutscenes. Mm-hmm. And now as an adult, it's making me mad.
Oh, like I had to fast forward them. Yeah.
Being furious at them.
Yeah. Like,
the princess looks very sick. Like, she's very like wan. You know, and you're going to rescue the TB princess. from this land. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Too much.
But, you know, that just viewed in its time. Like, I think Ninja Gaiden, you know, still has a halo because of its because of its cutscenes, right?
Yeah. Despite the fact that it's a hateful game. very hateful.
Yeah.
You know.
Fucking knockback.
Yeah. One thing about this is that you play a big guy, like your sprite's pretty big on the screen, and you don't have very much knockback. Like, you do get knocked back in this, but it's not a major gameplay consideration.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of platform happening either here.
No.
You know?
There's a little bit. Yeah. It's worth knowing the other kind of, like, quote unquote innovation to this is you have a power meter to stop you from spamming attacks.
That's a Kingsfield.
Kingsfield cooldown.
Yeah. Which is nice. I was actually kind of surprised to see that here, especially given, I don't know, the way that so many NES games just didn't discourage that, you know, button spam kind of stuff.
Pair with Trojan or something, you know, like other also-rans of this type. Mm-hmm. Be a fun, like, I mean, it would be, I don't know what it would be, but it'd be a fun project to compile some of those and do some kind of episode on them. Like, maybe a live episode of like, hey man, Here's the weird B-minus NES dudes walking to the right games, you know, not like the Retronauts version of it, but just kind of like, I don't know. I just want to talk about Power Blade.
you I like just Power bring Blade Power Blade to the show. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Power Blade a lot. It's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think that I have anything more to say about Astyanax. It is very funny how fast and loose they play with the mythology, you know, or even just the history. I was not joking about what Caesar is after you beat the first level. You know, again, the boss that is a bug man who rides a dinosaur tank. And
his name is Caesar.
Yeah. And, well, yeah. And you get the, like the cutscene afterwards, which is, you know, Thorndog and the Dark Lord saying, he is progressing so far. He has already defeated Caesar.
I'm pretty sure it's just them taking names.
Yeah.
You know, stealing names from things, like the same way that, JRPGs take things from Catholicism. Like everything's an angel.
Yeah.
You know, but it's using Caesar like Baphomet.
Yeah, but it's still a very funny effect.
No, right? It's great. Yeah. If this is thinking of this as when history comes alive.
Fun. But yeah, you fight a Gorgon in this and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's neat.
It's abstract. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a good way. It also, I love that it's doing the NES thing where you're just wearing incredibly like bright blue and orange.
Oh yeah.
That Castlevania, you know, blue and orange is so good. The NES blue and orange. I love it.
Yeah. Going through the purple swamp caves I'm seeing here where all of the landforms have eyes growing out of them. Yeah. No, this game might own actually.
One of the things that I think rocks, about Infernax is that when you're going through and doing the CRT, like visual filters, you can change how contrast the colors are. Hmm. And it's a accessibility thing for like color blindness. But if you just pump it up one or two levels, it makes it look very much like an NES game.
Ooh, yeah.
Where like everything is a bright red or orange or blue.
Hmm.
Yeah. Good shit.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Like it a lot.
No, I'm looking forward to getting to that.
Yeah. Very good. So I went to this last weekend. I went to Seattle.
Hmm.
There. I want to show you a statue.
Okay.
That I saw in Seattle. I'm going to send you a picture on the Slack here in a moment from my phone.
Okay.
And I want to camp out in the statue a little bit.
This was, you went up there for the Sunset Rubdown show, right?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to do some Seattle stuff.
Yeah.
Take a look at, I'm pictured here, having an appropriate reaction to this public art. yeah, I'm being stalked by it.
Ah, what?
Yeah. What's going on? What do you, let's go into it. Describe this.
Okay. So it's hard to tell because the camera angle is, cast 9 feet upward,
tall.
9 feet tall, nine feet tall from ground to tip or from the toe. Cause he starts pretty high.
Elevated, toe to tip.
And
representing a 9 foot tall figure.
Yeah. So this is a naked, man, that is incredibly beefy. In fact, so beefy that he has the bulbous forearm that goes out to no wrist and very puffy hands.
Yes.
Just a rockin' set of thighs on this dude.
Incredibly thick thighs.
Yeah. Completely barrel shaped. Every single aspect of this, has got his hongus out. He's got his hongus and his danglers out.
Yep.
And the face. So he's got kind of the, you know, again, the thickness extends. He's got the neck, the neck to head ratio that makes him look kind of like a thumb, but his face is very placid.
He looks a little like Bougie Boy, from Devo mythology.
Yeah. And you have sent me a real zoom in. It's not it's on his hongus. It is abstracted and smoothed out. There is no, you know, it's not like a Michelangelo's David where it is depicting,
a funnel.
So that's the thing here. It's a cone that is stuck to the front of him that is kind of cast downward to balls that to my eyes are kind of dangling much more. Got some danglers on him.
He got real danglers. I'd like to draw attention to how small his entire set is.
Yeah.
In comparison to his body and how much I really like that. I just like, it would have been funny if the statue just had like a huge swinging dick.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. But just kind of this like big, like placid faced muscle golem.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, like, you know, if this thing were to come to life, you know, or what have you, like this statue, I'm glad they gave it genitals, but they gave him like these heart, like the genitals mirror the face of this to me of this kind of like,
you know, no, what you were about to say was he has harmless genitals.
He has harmless genitals and a harmless face.
Yeah.
You know, powerful, confident, yeah, but harmless, like a bicentennial man's dick.
Like, he just wants to be human.
Yeah, he'll break. It also, if you look closely, because of the way the light is shining, it's just his feet, but it makes it look like he's only wearing socks, which would make this very funny.
That is a very threatening configuration, naked except for socks.
It's what they do in Penumbra. Like those sequels to Penumbra. It's Black Plague.
Is there a plaque? Is there a plaque explaining what this man is? Like, does this statue have a name on like a name on Google Maps?
He's in the lobby of a bank or something. Like, it's just like a big professional looking building. And you're walking around, and then there's this 9 foot tall nudity colossus just staring down at you right there. I think it's on 3rd Street or 3rd or 2nd Avenue downtown. Just south of the pier.
Yeah, I'm doing a search for Seattle statue large man, and I'm not getting...
Put in Seattle large man dick and see what you get.
Let's see here. This is the guy. Petition to place penis at polishable level from the stranger. I don't know if it's the same guy though. Let me...
That's great.
Is this outside in a flower bed next to a crosswalk?
Yeah.
Okay, must be the same thing here. So, stranger article, petition to place, trying to find a French phrase to express how sad I am that I can't touch Martin Selig's new penis.
Martin Selig
is the commercial real estate mogul who put up Seattle's tallest skyscraper back in 1985. What is this statue depicting? Okay, so this is called Adam, is what this is. Adam is 12 feet tall, so that must be from ground to tip.
Okay.
Made of bronze, covered in a dark brown patina. So this is depicting Adam?
The biblical That's incredible. Adam? There's also an Adam and Eve, which has a lady version of him. Selig plans to install big provocative sculpture.
Yeah. No, okay, so yeah, when I just did the search for statue, yeah, it's a similar look with a similarly beefy lady as well. Mm-hmm. Calipigian. Look at the hips on that.
Huh. Yeah. And a big abstracted clit. There's actually not. There, it's, I just.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a doorbell just kind of sticking out there.
Yeah, big confident, thinking about the doorbell.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ring it. So this is a different, I found a different statue of Adam and Eve, and this is definitely not the guy, but it looks like him. Are like Fernando Botero statues.
Okay.
Who is an artist who I know who does these kind of thick people. But it's weird that this is like a real crowded market of guys who look a little bit like this.
Like with different lenses as well. Like this one picture from the article in the Seattle Times, it makes him look far more broad. And the pecs and abs are put in like starker relief here.
It's an amazing, one of the things I think about a lot in Portland when I'm walking around is like which statues I'd like to have come to life.
in the case of a just don't look
or a night at the museum, I don't know, something like that's gonna happen. And there's the Portlandia statue, which is a gigantic like sea goddess with a trident
kind of hanging in that one building. Yeah
And it's cool as hell. Like it should come to life and be like the Portland kaiju that defends us against Proud Boys, skewers 3 of them at once and like roast them on an open fire with the trident. That'd be really cool.
With some cereal. Yeah.
Yeah. If I lived in Seattle, I don't know what I would do if this came to life. it short circuits my brain. Like, it's so big and cuddly, but it's just hanging full dong.
Yeah.
And the dong is like very specifically designed not to intimidate me. It reminds you of that horse dong sketch from I Think You Should Leave. Yeah.
Short stack.
Yeah. Short stack. This isn't that much bigger than yours. Huh. It's
where the horses are hung like you.
Yeah, where the statues are hung like me. You know, and then I was thinking about like statues in the world of statues. This is actually a relatively big dick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like statues really represent like, you know, Akewood style genitals like, pretty frequently. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I did.
That's good. You know, Michelangelo's David, just hanging mod, just hanging modest. Yeah,
yeah. Just does not rock that much hog, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm way into like a grower statue than a shower statue.
Yeah,
when it comes to a statue,
it's really funny because again, all of those you know return people on Twitter, you know, posting like why are we as a species incapable of crafting these anymore? And they post something that is very much a modern statue, you know, made by somebody in China or whatever, of just a lady with gigantic, you know, like Dennis like, Reynolds drawing you know, knockers.
You'll see it's quite flattering.
yeah like just saying like, oh yeah, just we need to return. I was like, have you seen old style statues, dude?
Yeah. Like, they're weird.
Yeah,
they're weird and artful.
They're weird and artful, and also probably a little bit more accurate to what human form is.
Yeah. Even these are exaggerated to like an awesome effect.
Oh yeah, this is ridiculous and cool.
Like,
yeah,
I love how he's simultaneously like fat but also real strong.
He's got that one particular kind of body. It is like one of the most unhealthy fat distributions.
Yes,
like it is a thing that can happen with a with a dude in particular, where you can have abs, like you can have a very hard stomach, but it is submuscular fat.
Yes,
that is kind of like pushing out in general. Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely adore it.
Yeah.
He's my friend.
But I mean, the face that you have in this picture where you're just kind of like, oh,
well, I was thinking about him coming to life.
Okay.
face. That's what I do when I see a statue.
Yeah.
I just like, hmm. Yeah, came to life. Good for them.
But like 9 feet tall, like I wouldn't want him doing wrestle moves on me, but like, that's also,
what if he were like, to carry you like a baby into heaven though?
Okay. No, I'd let him.
Yeah. Consider that. Like, it doesn't have to be a wrestling move. He could also like bring you to a sorbet or something, you know,
to clear my palate.
What? Yeah. Like, yeah. Or just bring you to a treat. Like, I don't know. You don't want to be carried around Seattle by this man.
I mean, yeah. Okay, you like got me.
Like a human palanquin.
All right, that is, you know, that is the new transportation of kings.
Yeah, like I don't know.
to be carried, swaddled in a Bjorn on a golem.
Yeah, on a small dick, big boy, baby golem.
Yeah,
like that's the dream.
Uh huh.
Small dick energy.
Yeah,
like yeah, it's the dream. Just carry me around, bronze god.
Rocket.
I was into it.
Yeah.
Way into it. Yeah. Also, this whole time when I was saying like Power Stone or whatever game I was playing, I meant Shatterhand.
Shatterhand. You said Power Blade.
Yeah. Power Blade is good, but I was thinking of Shatterhand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho, we got anything else?
No, I got nothing. got nothing. Yeah, sorry, boring. Yeah, it's my life. Okay. No, I'm gonna be going to see Sunset Rub Down here.
Oh, nice.
When they come to Columbus here at the end
it's
of the month.
I'm gonna sneeze here. Yeah, it's a great set. Mm-hmm. Huge energy, long set. So gird yourself.
Yeah.
I also am gonna say the opener was the bass player in the band.
Okay.
I found it pretty unlistenable.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that he's a perfectly nice dude. And he did great at the bass. Mm-hmm. It's art music, the kind that I hope that I left behind. You know, in my 20s, like just drones and moans.
Yeah, that's probably
for a half hour.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah.
To not be
so don't kill yourself. Yeah.
To get there right on time. Yeah.
At least for us, it was a short set because Sunset Rub Down played for a long time and mm-hmm. because a Disney themed DJ was playing after them.
What?
They played at like a real venue, like a real big venue, which had the nicest bathrooms I've ever had in a venue. I had travel guts and I really needed to shit and mm-hmm. I went to the bathroom and I could have been there forever. I could have just hung out and made a home.
Anytime a venue stalls have doors, that's a W.
Yeah. But imagine doors like marble, no stickers, no graffiti.
No.
Full coverage. Like the doors weren't like you make eye contact with, you know, the person across the way.
Yeah. It's not the reverse of a saloon door.
It's you know, exactly. It's not one of those. Absolutely beautiful bathroom. Loved it. So,
and the show was okay too.
Oh, the show was great. Yeah, Viva Crocodile Club. Played a new song, so I'm hoping they have a new record. Like if they actually reunite, that'd be really cool. Yeah. The Spencer Krug solo stuff, I'm on his Patreon. They've been putting out, has all been good. So
yeah,
excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
If you would like to demand a game, the line is pretty short right now. You can go and back us at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You only have to do it at the $25 tier for 1 month to get your to throw your hat in the ring there. We recommend it. It is a way for us to, you know, you could be like our slug friend here, Snail. What's the name? Samurai Snail. Yeah.
Our slug friend.
Our slug friend. Yes. Yeah. You could be like Samurai Snail.
You can be like our slug friend. You can. So please do that. We appreciate you. We appreciate you just for listening. And we'd also appreciate if you put in $5, you get a bunch of extra episodes if you'd like.
Yeah. We also appreciate Gwen, our producer.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. And we appreciate everyone just for listening as well.
Mm-hmm. Lots of appreciation going around.
Yeah. And what should I do until next time?
I would say until next time, just don't look.